You don't need a touch of shock.
Tetris.
Have you been Tetrisized?
Square, rectangle, trapezoid, Tetrisoid.
Nintendo introduces Tetris.
Put a piece here. Put a piece there.
Use your thumbs. Use your eyes.
Find yourself Tetrisized.
Now you're playing with power.
Leroy Jenkins.
And welcome to Evil Avatar Radio, episode number 76, here on October the 1st. Wonderful month of October it is. And I'm not saying that because my birthday's in it, but maybe I am.
I had no idea your birthday was in October.
I don't know.
I know you for like...
Now you're obligated.
A whole lot of years.
You have, and you didn't know my birthday.
I have no idea. Man, I don't pay attention to other people.
You let Dana take up to pay attention to that, don't you? It's like,
yeah.
Oh, it's his birthday. Don't forget.
I always figured it was sort of a girl thing anyway, to know when birthdays were, because I've
getting
never
presents
been able to
is
do
not
it.
A girl thing. It's not only limited
no,
to a girl thing.
No, I'm saying knowing when birthdays are.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so that was Tetris, the old commercial for Tetris.
Man, that brought back some warm memories.
Not until he got
I
to
love
the
that
Tetrisoid.
Commercial.
Tetrisoid.
Trapezoid. Tetrisoid.
Not until he got to that point, huh?
Nintendo.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
It's old stuff. It's good stuff, but it's old stuff. Anyway, that was there because, of course, for Xbox Live Arcade this week, we are getting Tetris Splash, I believe is what it's called. I'm not exactly sure what all that means, but I just know it's Tetris for Xbox Live Arcade. 800 points for that if you'd like to pay $10 for a Tetris game. I don't know. I don't have any other Tetris game. I know there was an Xbox 360 Tetris game released on the on the cheap for like $30. Tetris Evolution, I think, is what it was called.
I honestly don't know.
But anyway, it's out there for the 360.
Super Puzzle Fighter? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
That's what it was?
That's exactly what I said. I was like, well, I've got Super Puzzle Fighter. However, Super Puzzle Fighter does a round-robin type thing.
Yeah, and it's not Tetris. It's a different
Whereas thing, Tetris, you can have everybody on the screen at the same time playing their, you know, their games of Tetris. So there's team play in it, which I thought was kind of cool. So, you know, I actually may take a look at this, demo it or something like that, and see. It's also a game that I don't have, just like Puzzle Fighter, that I don't have to get out of my chair to put in there.
Right.
Somebody sends me an invite, I'm like, sure, let's go. I don't have to get up. Whereas if I do, I got to think about it for a second before I accept that.
A tough life to own a 72-inch television that forces you to sit 15 feet away.
Yeah.
Us lucky guys with the 20-inch LCDs can just reach over to the 360. Man, how I don't envy you at all. The tragedy of your life and your giant wall-sized television.
Flink says, I hate how $30 is on the cheap. Yeah, I guess it is. When all your other games are $60, I guess $30 would be on the cheap. But, yeah. So.
Yeah.
Oh, lots of stuff going on. I would ask people what they played this weekend. However, I know the answer for pretty much everybody.
I think this is sort of funny, though, because everybody's friends list had some of this in it.
It was great, wasn't it?
It did. It had, you know, what do you got? You've got 35 people online, 34 playing Halo.
And there's
and inevitably
one guy.
There's, like, some dude who's, like, grinding away on Eternal Sonata, you know? And I'm like, I was very envious of those people. Because I was like, man, I really didn't get to spend much time in that game. I really wanted to spend a little bit more with it. I knew Halo 3 was going to eat my time. We had talked about wanting to finish the campaign before the show, which we did not do.
I know.
This is what happens when you have, like, five people who want to co-op the story together, but you can only co-op with four people. You can only go a few missions into the game, then you got to step back and sub someone in,
mm-hmm.
or do it the next night, or something like that. So I can smell the end of the campaign where we are.
Yeah.
You know, I know it's...
How far ahead are you guys from me now?
Where did we leave you?
The Wild Wild West monster.
Oh, yeah, we left you at the Wild Wild West. Yes, yes.
Well, no. We finished that.
Yeah.
We got
but,
to
I mean, it was just right after that, though.
You
kill the orbital gun right after that.
Yeah.
So...
And then you...
And that was it. That's basically where we left. We went
further.
A couple missions. But, you know, we got our just desserts for leaving you so far behind because we were trying to pick up all the skulls in order as we made our way through the missions and everything.
On Legendary,
which even with four guys, seriously, I'm not
I've
even
talked
kidding.
To a few people and I was like, hey, have you finished the campaign? They're like, yeah, I finished it on Heroic the other day or I finished it on Normal or whatever. I need to go back and do it on Legendary, grab the skulls. And I'm like, well, we're doing that from the outset.
Yeah,
we're not gonna. We're not.
I don't
want to
go back on Legendary and do it.
I don't ever want to go back on Legendary.
And I got to tell you, I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind a little bit of practical comparison running Legendary with maybe two people, because I feel like a lot of those areas are well served with four people. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're getting all Kevin Klein and Will Smith, you know, on the Wild Wild West monster, it's fine. Four guys is fine. But in some of the indoor
that's
maps,
how we, that's it, how we that's how we talk about. What you'll face without spoiling
yeah.
it.
Yeah, you'll know it when you see it.
You will. Yeah.
Assuming
you haven't, because I'm sure everybody's further along than we are.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But that's a great place to have four people, but there are a lot of places where the constraints are just like, oh, God, sniper, 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 and I can't move because Jeremy's behind me, you're beside me, and Kevin's in yeah. front of me, and it's like, well.
One shot and you're gone.
And I'm dead.
Yeah, and then it's again. Like, back up, get to a safe place.
Yes. So that's a lot of what it was. So sometimes it's really great to have everybody there. Sometimes it's really maddening because you line up that perfect shot, and then the arbiter steps right in front of you, you know, and you can't make your good shot, and that's yeah. just how it is. And it's over live, so I can't reach over and smack someone on the head. Tell them to get out of my way. So it's a lot of fun. We're still lagging a little bit behind. But we screwed up. We missed all the skulls in that mission. That
yeah,
we
missed
on
a skull, so we got to go back. I'm wondering if we have to mess with the terminal since we already messed with them.
I don't know, but I...
You know, for safety's sake...
I think we will.
There was this one. There's this one skull. It's the skull that we were talking about where, you know, there's a lot involved in how to get it. You had to jump through
literally
things
literally jumping
whatever.
Through a lot of hoops.
Yeah. You had to jump through a lot
thanks,
of hoops
Bungie,
to get it.
I really... Yeah, I get it.
There's the...
Very subtle.
Everybody says that when they picked it up, just in case, everybody, you know, one person from the team would pick it up, hold it for a second, drop it. And the next guy, just in case, would come over and pick it up, drop
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
just to make sure that we all got it.
Maybe pick it up again.
It up. Yeah.
Just to make sure it took.
Let's just make sure that everybody's got it.
Maybe
so
should carry
we'll
it for
thing.
A minute.
So, yeah. I'm really enjoying it. And I'm enjoying the multiplayer. I don't know how many of you guys have actually gotten into some more multiplayer than what we did.
When it came down to team or adversarial stuff outside of what we were doing in co-op, I did a little bit, but I was trying to spend some time in the final hours of the Call of Duty 4 beta,
mm-hmm.
which I did.
Yeah.
Which was, it was a lot of fun. There were more people than I expected to find still playing it.
Yeah, I leveled all the way up to 25 and promptly quit because I was so tired of playing after that. But yeah, I got up to 25. I'm like, sleight of hand, probably the best perk so far, I think.
Again,
it's a tough call.
Which perk slot is in it? I didn't get it. Which perk slot?
Two. I believe it's two.
Two is what, stopping power?
Two is stopping power, yeah.
Okay.
I believe two is stopping power. So it's a tough call between, like, Martyrdom actually worked for me a few times, dropping the live grenade when you get shot, but it only worked for me on one map. Where a sleight of hand works on, like, you can have that for all three maps.
Not just one map, but, like, three places on one map,
yeah,
essentially.
Well, Vacant I use, yeah, Vacant really helps me in Martyrdom. I could probably come in handy in Crash, but Overgrown, no. I mean, it's just too big of a map for you to really get in a position where he's going to kill you, and then you're going to have to, and then he's going to have to move and can't move as much away.
Right.
It's just such a big open map that he just takes a jump somewhere, and he's pretty much in the clear. Whereas Vacant... You don't need
there
to even go
no
forward.
Clear,
you need
really.
To back. You just need to back up once you've made the shot and just get out of there real quick. If you hear that little ting ting, you need to back up. Just go away.
Yeah.
Because he's dropped a grenade.
But even, I mean, it's going to be great. You know, they continue to add. It's the perks are nice, but they're gonna. It's going to be hard choices to make. I mean,
it already was.
I am going to be thinking about it all the time between now and November 5th.
Yeah.
Like exactly how I'm going to do this because they don't make
even,
it easy.
We don't
they,
even know some of the other
no,
perks that we're going to
no.
get.
No, and they do not. They're not going to be easy choices. It's going to be really hard to decide like how you want to lay your character out. And, you know, I don't think it's going to be possible to have a well-rounded build. I think you're just going to have to match it to a very specific style of play. If anything, I'm going to get irritated that I can only have five custom classes. I feel like I need 25.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. But, yeah, this was it. This was the last weekend that we'll be able to go on and on, ad infinite nauseam about... Yeah. The COD 4 beta, and then in another month or so, we'll just go on and on about COD 4 itself.
Yeah,
so
we will. That's exactly what we'll do. It was a lot of fun. I don't know if it's because I had been playing it more than I had Halo 3, but I had more fun in the multiplayer of COD 4 than I was having in the multiplayer of Halo 3. But again, I put in way much more time in COD 4 multiplayer than I have in the Halo 3 multiplayer. I can tell you this, though. Rocket Race is a lot of fun in Halo 3. If you don't like multiplayer, Rocket Race is something, because we all love Mario Kart. Rocket Race is very similar to Mario Kart, because pretty much everybody is set on indestructible. You can't die. It's just about going through checkpoints that spawn on the map. You have the Mongoose, which is the two-man vehicle. And one guy's the VIP, one guy is the protector. It's two team. It's two-man teams. And so the VIP guy gets the rocket launcher and has an infinite number of rockets and can use that to shoot. And the other guy is your driver. And so, I mean, seriously, it's Double Dash. That's exactly what it is. Just with rockets in Halo 3, because you're driving across the thing, and then, you know, you're shooting rockets at other guys trying to keep them from getting to the checkpoints. Man, it makes for a fun little game. I saved the film that I was in, that I was involved with on that, so you guys can go back and look at it. And I saved a couple of shots of how that's set up and that sort of thing. But, yeah, tons and tons of fun. The different ways that you can customize all these game modes and the maps and stuff, I think it's going to provide a lot of fun well into the game's life. So.
Yeah, I guess it's because I'd really like to exhaust the campaign before I really turn to the multiplayer, which is what I'll usually do. I'm a little tweaked, man, with the whole playback feature. I have spent hours and hours in the playback feature just looking back at us being morons. You know, running through the missions.
Yeah.
Like, with the 10 minutes of the first time we were, the first 10 minutes of the first time we were playing, when Matt screwed up his headset.
Yeah.
So there's four of us standing around, and Matt's like, "Can you hear me?" And we're like, "Yeah, guys, can you hear me?"
And then it came down to character animation, sign language.
So
basically,
we all stood in front of him. We all stood in front of him, and we're nodding.
Yeah, we're nodding with our character. He's like, "Can you hear me?" And we're all like, nodding.
So finally, I shot him. He still didn't really get it. It took forever. But it's like, it was at that point where I was like, "Well, I really want to go back and look at this mission. I'd like to edit it." And I'm really disappointed that the edit feature isn't available for campaign.
Well, not necessarily edit. It's like there's no rewind in campaign, and there's no recording clips.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. You can't edit it into small clips. I was really, really disappointed about that, because there's just a ton of little gems, you know, little moments that we had no idea were going to develop while the four of us were playing. You know, the Warthog getting stuck on the I-beam. You know, us trying to get the skull in that one level where we all. You know, basically our team score got reduced to zero because of the times we died.
Well, it wasn't trying to get the skull. It was trying to get up on this building that we, for whatever reason, you caught your eye on this ledge, and you're like, "I want to get up there." There's probably nothing up there, but I want to get up there because it looks like we can get up there.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, because you kept killing Kevin over and over again because he would spawn with stickies that we could try and do grenade jumps.
Yeah, well,
with.
I realized how much it stinks to be playing Master Chief if you want a grenade jump, because you get spawned with the regular grenades, and you can't grenade jump because they bounce off wherever.
Yep.
I was like, man, I really need stickies, so I just go up and, you know,
knock out one of your.
I'd bash
elites.
One of my friends in the head until they responded and told him to throw a sticky on the ground.
And we died over and over again just to get up there. And basically, all we ever got out of it was a nice little screenshot of the four of us standing at a place that we.
Yeah, you know what? You really stink at standing in a line.
I do, because it's again that
stand beside
factor.
Me and look this way doesn't mean stand in front of me and look at me. I don't really understand.
Well,
what
I went
the
to stand in the
was.
Back, but you actually wanted me to stand in front because I thought you wanted Chief as the lead. And then his
no, there was no front. It was a
buttons.
Line, and we were all facing a thing. Pretend it's an album cover. That's what I should have said.
Yeah. and
but
we
yeah,
got
just all these moments. Yeah. I was just so disappointed because, again, we're kind of stupid, and plus we were like goofing off the whole time, and we would stop for like 10 minutes to figure out where a skull was.
Yeah.
So like our missions are running into like 75 minutes long, and you know, fast forwarding at like 2x speed just doesn't really cut it. I really wanted to edit that stuff out. Very disappointed that I could not do that.
That's another one. No rewind, no re-able recording. I would love to be able to fast forward a little bit faster in some of these things.
Right.
Because I think, what is it, only go like double
it's,
speed?
Yeah, it's like twice. It's, like, it's like 2x speed. It's really,
man.
Really, really. And there's no, you know, they don't set the mark at a checkpoint or anything like that you know, can maybe jump
60-minute video takes you 30 minutes just to, you know, to get through it. And so it's
yeah, so don't do anything interesting at the end.
Yeah. Try and make that the first thing you do of the mission.
Right.
Whatever it is that you're working on. So,
yeah. Good stuff.
It's just, we've had lots of fun. Did you guys download the, because I checked my, and again, Bungie.net, your profile on there just has tons and tons of statistics and data that you can look at to see how things are going. Not only in the campaign, but in the multi, it provides more for the multiplayer. but in your campaign and stuff like that. Anyway, I could see where one of my videos has been downloaded like 11 times, and I was wondering if any guys had downloaded the zombie, the little short zombie video.
No, I have not.
Somebody's downloaded it 11 times, so yeah, I'm kind of curious who that
would
be.
I don't think it's the same guy.
Well, yeah. 11 people have downloaded it. I'd like to find out who they are and see what it was. Zombies, this is another one that kind of was born out of, they included it as a game mode because it was born out of what the community did with Halo 2. In a sense that the way it works is the whole entire, you know, ever how many people you have. Let's say you go with 16. 15 people spawn in as the humans. They get one set of, you know, they get a gun, basically a pistol, shotgun, whatever you want to give them. And then one guy is the alpha zombie. He spawns in cloaked with an energy shield. And he's running around, or an energy sword. And he's running around trying to find you. If he slashes at you, if he kills you, you respawn invisible with a shield and you go after the living. And so it's basically that. So there's this one little outpost that we all kind of stuck at. Because it's got some ammo. It's got a nice little ammo dump. And it's a hill and you can kind of see the entire map. Well, you can see the entire map. And then all of a sudden you see all these little invisible guys with swords just like swarming over this hill coming after you, and it gives you that real sense of like, oh, I'm screwed. I'm only going to last so long. It feels just like a zombie movie. You're only going to last so long because these guys are going to come. And you can shoot them, but then they're going to respawn and still come after you until there's one guy left, and he wins the match. So it's a lot of fun. Tons of stuff in there that can be done. So hopefully once we get this campaign out of the way, we can all jump in there and actually have some fun.
I'll be more interested in it then.
Yeah,
that'd be a good thing.
I feel like I got to play the campaign just to, you know, kind of learn the ins and outs of how the Halo gameplay works. Anyway.
You never played.
I never played.
Never played any of the other.
That's right.
Jumping in the multiplayer,
you know what?
I got a bunch of weapons.
Yeah.
Let
me tell you something. Let me tell you what you should not do. You should not play Call of Duty and Halo 3 simultaneously. You should not do it. You should not play these things like within the same span of time.
Yeah.
Because I'm just saying. You can try as hard as you want to reload in COD 4 with the right bumper. It's not going to work. You're going to throw a grenade in your feet, and you're going to die. And
I
that's
saw you
it.
Guys doing that.
Yeah, it was really bad.
That was fun.
I would try to melee somebody, and I would wind up just, you know, teabagging my way down the hallway. It was really bad, man. I felt so horrible. I couldn't get anything right all weekend. So I just finally had to hang up. Yeah, exactly. that was an in-studio.
Yeah, I know. But that's exactly what you were
That's what it was. That's what it was. I couldn't reload, I couldn't throw grenades, and I couldn't melee because the control scheme is all changed around for this.
Oh, and God forbid you jump back into COD 4 after you played some Halo, and then you're doing some really stupid stuff then. Then you're throwing grenades, or you're trying to reload, but you're not doing it because you're throwing the grenades and stuff like that. You've got to
It's terrible. So we just had to hang COD 4 up for the weekend for me.
So... Oh, lots and lots and lots of fun.
I mean, you know, and so we, I don't know. Are you able to get past your severe and complete disappointment at Bungie for not giving us those final 80p of resolution?
Never bothered me. I don't mind at all. I realize I'm looking at a huge, gigantic screen that's supposed to output, you know, high def and that sort of thing. But you know what? I look at that and I don't even care. I'm playing the game and I'm having fun, you know, watching other people kill themselves or watching myself try and do stupid stuff again.
Yeah.
Again, it goes back to are you having fun in the game, or is it really bogging you down that they didn't give you that extra bit? Is it really having an effect on the fact of you enjoying this game?
It didn't bother me, but I knew where people were coming from. I wouldn't prep.
Oh, sure you do, man. If it were Sony that
he's
had
absolutely
you know,
right, man. If
that
this
had
was Sony, they wouldn't
delivered
get off.
A product that didn't, you know, push the, you know, the full resolution
or didn't meet marketing claims.
Yeah, if this was Sony's
that's
like
the big
premier
deal.
Title on the PS3, because I mean, Halo 3 is the 360 title everyone's been waiting
right,
for.
Yeah.
And it didn't meet the minimum standard Sony had set for themselves and their system.
They'd be flayed.
Yeah.
They would be flayed.
But coming from me, it's like...
No, we've already established that, but you were saying you don't know where they're coming from. And it's trying to be like, well, if you really kind of look at the majority of like
it's easy to see
how arguments go back and forth, it's like, hey, man, it's not a question of what they provided, because what they provided looks pretty good. Granted, like coming from Kevin, when we're playing the four-player stuff, he's primarily a PC gamer and is, as such, a lot more sensitive to image resolutions and image quality. even outside of that, I know him to be more sensitive to those kind of things. So for him, he did pick it up before we even knew it. He was like, man, this looks slightly lower than other things we've played. Whatever. I don't have a problem with it either, but I just, I do know where people are coming from simply because Microsoft's, you know, marketing army has stood up before and said, this is the HD generation, and this is the HD console for the HD generation. And by the way, we pretty much all agree that 720 is the baseline for HD.
Yeah.
And then they come in under that, and it's like, man, I don't care. Except that you did a thing, and now you're not really taking flack for it, which is great, but what about these other guys? Because yeah, we all know what would happen if the shoe was on the other foot. Mm-hmm. So I don't have any problems
with
what they did.
It's hard for me to have an opinion on how it looks considering I'm playing on a standard definition
TV. Exactly. Which, by the way, just looking at some screenshots that had come out not that long ago, it seems like it translated really well to an SD TV, just as an aside. The screenshots I saw of it on an SD, which were posted.
Well, I've got a really nice SD, right, you know, for an SD.
But all the same, it just looked good. I suppose that's a product of the range of lighting, high dynamic and low dynamic, that they were working on, that the lighting just really brings out the image. Because, frankly, it's not beautiful without it, but I suppose the lighting really, really does make it pop. Again, no personal issues with it. I think it looks great, you know, I think it's fine. But I just also think it was worth mentioning, and it kind of was worth being like, nah, I'm shaking my finger at you a little bit. I'm not bothered. Come on. Come on, you talk a lot of talk, man, and when you come in under and then claim that everybody's, what, a toenail-chewing, tinfoil-hat-wearing psychopath or whatever for bringing it up, it's like, nah. I agree with you that it never should have been the subject of conversation. It was wise for them not to bring it up.
Yeah.
Because they claim it would have distracted from the real conversation, and that's true. It's just, it's a thing, man, and there it is. So, enough said, I suppose. It's just, now we all know. We kind of know how it works both ways, and we can go back to playing Halo 3.
Yeah. But, yeah, not really. Yeah, it's not a problem for me. Okay, yeah, maybe there's some people out there who do have a problem with it. And
even though Jaggies are actually extra big on your super giant extraterrestrial
television.
Yeah,
so when you mentioned it,
man,
I was like,
I feel so bad for you with that TV. I should just take it from you so you don't have all these problems.
I'll trade with you,
Look
Scott.
How much I'm willing to help you.
No. You know what? Black Friday's coming up. For your after Thanksgiving deal,
I'm not getting anything at Black Friday.
Okay,
Gopher broke her tooth.
Oh, that's right. She hurt her tooth, in a lot of pain. So, PS3's going in her mouth.
Yep,
that's all right. Let's do the releases real quick, and then we'll take a break, and we'll come back with a phone call here. But let's start with today. We got junk. Except for one. Hoyle Card Games 2008 on PC and Hoyle Casino 2008 on PC. There's always the one game that's going to screw up my language worse than I normally do. Karupoto, Cool Stars for DS, I think. Monopoly 2008 for PC, Race 07 PC, Race Driver, Create and Race for the DS, and Legend of Zelda Phantom Hourglass for the DS.
Yay.
High profile there.
About time.
Tomorrow, we're getting Crash of the Titans on the PS2, the DS, the PSP, the 360, and the Wii. Dave Mira BMX Challenge for the Wii. Enemy Territory, Quake Wars for the PC. Flat Out Ultimate Carnage for the 360. Holly Hobby and Friends for the DS. Legend of Spyro for the PS2, GBA, and DS. Loki, Heroes of Mythology for the PC. MLB Power Pros for the PS2 and the Wii. NBA 2K8 and NBA Live 08 for the PS2. The 360, the PS3, the PSP, and the Wii, and lots of stuff. Next Life for PC, Ninja Bread Man for the Wii, Spider-Man Friend or Foe for a bunch of systems.
Which is it, Friend or Foe?
It's Friend or Foe. It's actually a nice little...
You have to buy the game to find out.
Yeah, okay. You have to buy the game to find out. Siphon Filter, Logan's Shadow for the PSP, and we're getting Project Gotham Racing 4 for the 360 on Tuesday. So... there you go, race fans. Get your Project Gotham
EGR
Racing.
EGR4. Yeah, that's...
There's some weather effects in your racing.
That's some serious gamefly action.
Yeah.
On the PGR. That's
some serious buy for a lot of people.
The Wii VC stuff, man. Because this week's really interesting.
It's the import titles.
Yeah.
You get Super Mario Brothers: The Lost Levels from the Nintendo Entertainment, from, like, Japan, basically.
Yeah. The NES version, not like the All-Stars remake, which is the only one we got.
Yeah. 600 Wii points on that one. And then Very oddly, strangely enough, and I bolded this when I pointed it out, because it's like 1,200 Wii points from the Nintendo 64 Sin and Punishment.
Sin and Punishment.
Yes.
Which, $12 is a lot cheaper than the $120 it used to cost to import that.
See, you'll know these things, because yeah. I think you were in business at that time.
That was a huge import title, mm-hmm. You know, because I, you know, imported stuff for 5 years. I
Did you play
never
once
it? Had anybody take me up on, you know, Sin and Punishment. It was just too pricey.
Did you play
a
it?
Lot of people never got to, because okay. Nobody ever ordered it. Lots of people interested in it, but nobody was willing to pay for that. So I'm really interested in that.
Yeah, I'm thinking about picking that one up.
Yeah, I heard it compared to 3D Gunstar Heroes, and I saw some video of it. It looks really nice.
And then, of course, for your Xbox Live Arcade, we get Tetris Splash this week for 800 Microsoft points. Anyway, there's your releases of the week. We got to take a break, the only one for the hour, and then we come back. We'll go to the phones. I believe Mike is still on the phone line, so hang on, Mike. We'll get back to you. And we'll have more Evil Avatar Radio here on 1170 WACV. And welcome back to Evil Avatar Radio here on 1170 WACV. It's still on, so...
Hold on. Was that the first COD, or was that Medal of Honor?
Medal of Honor.
I was wondering,
Allied
yeah.
Assault.
Yeah,
okay.
I didn't read the first part. I thought that was it with the whatnot, but I couldn't remember. It's been a long time. I used to have that in
memory.
Yeah, it's
been
I loved
a long
it.
Time.
It's a good song.
Yeah, it's been a good while on that. Of course, now they've got, you know, new one. I don't know if the...
a lot of ways, man. I don't think they've improved on Allied Assault.
That was a really good game.
That was a good game.
Yeah, everybody's in the chat room. What is this?
I couldn't remember which one of those two it was. I had gotten a little bit confused. I was pretty sure it was Medal of Honor.
Yeah.
I didn't hear the first bit.
Hey, real quick, before we move on to Mike, who's on the phone, who's been waiting patiently. Thank you, Mike. I'm going to have you wait just a little bit more. I wanted to mention that we had Steve Scott on last week from Bungie, who mentioned his favorite explosion being Grunt Birthday Party.
Yeah.
And we're all wondering what Grunt Birthday Party... Well, it's a skull effect, so
in case you haven't found it, it's one of the non-achievement skulls.
Yes.
And it's also one of the skulls that if you activate it, it doesn't give a score multiplier. It's just a...
We won't tell you what it does, but, you know, if you find it, you need to activate
really
it.
It's fun.
I do want to tell
really
you, but
fun.
I don't want to. But we didn't know going into it. When we found out, we're like, hey, that's cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, when you find it, activate it and go back in. It will not multiply your score or anything like that, but it is a lot of fun.
So feel
to
free
have
to turn it on when you're playing Legendary.
Exactly.
It will make those frustrating moments so much more bearable.
Yeah, it really does.
And you always know whenever one of your buddies has taken out one of the grunts, because you'll hear that noise and you're like, hey, you got one.
Hey.
Good job.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. And I must say, all the explosions are quite nice, but I learned... It was like tenfold appreciation for his work on the explosions when I...
When you stopped and went through the...
Well, you know, and I had this whole fit of like, I'm going to go through the replays and create all these fantastic backlit death explosion shots, you know, where like three plasma grenades and a brute shot grenade are blowing up right behind you, and I'm taking a fabulous picture of it to remind myself you're getting killed repeatedly.
I've got another one of you.
Yeah, right.
Of you dying from a sticky. Let's go to the phone lines real quick. We've got Mike O'Hara on the line. Mike, you there?
I didn't even have to play it yet.
Thanks a bunch. Yeah, remember...
That's two shows in a row.
That's
now.
Two shows in a row. Remember, we're live on the air, and yes, dropping
it's
that...
Not, yes, I got to be bleeped out.
Don't say it again, because I don't have time.
Good job.
Yeah, I had to bleep you out. We had to dump the audio.
Up our 6 second dump.
Yeah, so let my 6 seconds build up before you decide to throw around words again.
So why haven't you got to play it yet?
Well, how did you get campaign?
Say again?
So how did you guys like the campaign for Halo 3?
We haven't finished it.
We're not quite finished with it. I
at least you guys are playing it. I'm in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, it's...
I am. I'm not kidding. I'm in the middle of nowhere. I'm about 50 miles away from my house with my girlfriend and her 17-year-old son.
Oh, okay. I think, I saw that you were saying that you would try
Let me put it this way. They are on satellite internet. I'm used to my my HVAC cable at home. They're on a 512 meg satellite internet. And I would appreciate if the chat room basically scrolled for the next 60 seconds. Upgrade their internet, please.
Yeah, we've gotten some messages from you saying, yeah, my Xbox is coming in. I'll be in there with you guys pretty soon. I'm waiting for it to come back.
Yeah,
so.
I actually have it at the house, but I'm not able to play it until tomorrow when I get home. So.
Okay, cool. Yeah, it's, so far what we played, because none of us have really played it on single player basically by ourselves. I mean, I have, but I'm always through a co-op. We don't go any further.
We always set our most forward point in the campaign through co-op, and then I'll go, like, I've been going back and just dealing with it on my own on normal, just to compare.
Yeah.
But we always, our most advanced save is always co-op. I'm liking it, but I don't often find myself wanting more exposition, but I kind of do. And I've said this before, that I feel like the story in Halo is extraordinarily deep, but Halo's ability to tell the story, I feel, sometimes is lacking. They don't describe enough, and I know that that's not necessarily supposed to be something you do all the time, but I just feel like I'd like a little more explanation. I'd like more information about what's going on and how it pertains to all the parties
involved. I also want to clue the people listening in on the podcast about something. If they live in a state where there's a Hastings Entertainment store, they are clearancing out some 360 games. You can get them anywhere from $9.99 to $20.
Really? For a 360 game?
Yep. And in my hands right now, I have a copy of Viva Pinata.
Copy of Viva Pinata. He kind of cut out there on the phone, but yes.
And it says $9.99.
Nice.
Very nice.
Good little deal there. So it's, what is it, Hastings?
Yes, Hastings. We don't have anywhere. Chain. I don't know if you guys have one close by.
No.
We don't have anything. We really don't.
Yeah, no, we don't.
Oh, yeah.
Surprised we have radio.
Yanikov calls in tonight. Make sure to call him WeFan at least 5 times to annoy the crap out of him, please.
Call him what?
WeFan.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, okay, no. Yeah.
Okay. Will do. So thanks for the call, Mike. You there?
Yes, I'm here. Okay. I'm getting yelled at.
Okay, well, yeah. You continue to go back and get yelled at, and we will...
We'll keep playing Halo 3 for you.
We'll keep playing Halo 3, so...
I will see you guys. I'll be online tomorrow night.
We'll look for you online.
Good deal.
We'll talk to
you
later.
I'm so sorry, Mike.
Hang in there.
That's great. Violet P69 says, "Hey, Mike, I'd like a number 3 with Lawrence."
That's awful. It's really bad to be separated from your internet.
Yeah, it really is.
I don't like it.
That was funny. Anyway, so let's see. Let's do a quick rundown. I know we've completely avoided news of any kind, but let's do a quick rundown here of who all's in the chat room. We got Fishbang, of course, James sitting to my right here. We've also got Fate Fodder, Blackwing, myself, Slipstream's in there, all the way from, I believe, Belgium is where he's at. He joined us at PAX. He took that long flight. He was actually in the air more longer than he was at PAX, flying from Belgium to Seattle. So
medication there.
Yeah, it was, and it was. Hoggy's in there as well. Lawlers, who has a very... He sent us an email. And Lawlers, your name is very familiar for some reason. I don't know why, and I'm hoping you'll help me out with that. But your name's really familiar. Flinks is in there. Straximus, also UW Crash. Zilla Dana joining us again, also BA Penguin. Mott Wackorb is in there. I think I got his name right finally. Violent B69, Nabokov Fan 87, Mike O'Hara, we just talked to. Space Angel, that would be Becky. King Gorilla is in there and was talking about his Pirates of the Betas. Pirates of the Burning Sea.
Pirates of the Betas?
Pirates of the Burning Sea t-shirts. Pirates of the Beta Sea. He was talking about his t-shirt. Yeah, I was wondering about beta keys. I've got some news on that, and I'll probably post that in the Pirates of the Burning Sea thread that we have over at Evil Avatar.
Yeah, a little more complicated than something we want to go over on the air.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's just, detailed information.
And we'll tell you about it later. But, yes, you'll be getting your beta key. Rogue Hunter and Drew MG is in there, who we got a nice email from just last week. I want to thank him for sending us an email. You can email us as well, everyone at evilavatarradio.com is the email address, or you can call us 334-272-9228. We would love to hear from you. So let's jump into some news. Why don't we? Anybody got anything off the top of their head that they would like to talk about? We had some
Rock
stuff.
Band pricing.
Rock Band pricing set at $169.99.
$30 cheaper than we expected.
It was. Not that...
For the bundle.
Not that 30 bucks matters too much when you're up that high. But yeah, so...
Yeah.
I was willing to pay the $200. You're getting it, obviously, so you're probably really happy with the fact that it's...
Yeah, doesn't matter to me.
Yeah, I know.
You would be getting it in any case.
I'm getting it.
Case.
He's getting it. You're covered, aren't you?
That's awesome.
I can go to his house or I can go to his house. It doesn't matter. I'll get to play the game and I'll be fine. That's out. So, you know, I'm happy with the pricing. It releases, I think, Black Friday, November 23rd, I believe. Mm. So the Thanksgiving holiday weekend is shaping up to be a lot of stuff.
It is.
Kane and Lynch releases that time. There's like a bunch of others. Mass Effect is coming out, I believe, that week. It's the 20th.
Yeah.
So that earlier in that week.
Right.
COD 4 releases November 6th, I believe.
Yeah.
So lots of stuff. Lots of stuff for the month of November, which is only 1 month away, which is nice. So it's
I like October, though. October's like my favorite month.
I do. I like October as well. So there was an announcement that the Tom Clancy series is getting some aerial combat game.
Really?
Did you read about that?
No, I didn't.
Just announced, and I think it's coming out next year. They didn't reveal much. Co-op will be involved, I believe, but it's all aerial combat, and it's a Tom Clancy title, so that'll be interesting.
It's like Rainbow Six with planes.
Oh, man. Very nice.
We got a Jericho demo last week. I don't know if any of you guys...
I downloaded it. I have not played it.
We got a new demo today, I thought. Thrillville. We got a demo of Thrillville,
Really?
Is like build-your-own roller coaster stuff, which I'm kind of happy with. What else did we get here? What else? There's a lot of, you know, and I wanted to talk about this. PS3 rumors.
Yeah, I know. I mean, they've been, here we are, yet another, press release about a press release kind of thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, here's, you know, it started in the sense that, like, I think it was Engadget that noticed the FCC had a listing for a new model of a PS3,
right?
You know, and that story broke. Sony immediately, someone contacted the FCC or whatever and said, yeah, you might want to make that private and take that out of there.
Huh? He keeps hitting his
mic. Banging my
stuff.
Juice on the on the mic.
I wasn't even paying attention.
Nope.
Yeah. So that was revealed. And so you're thinking, well, okay, that's not too much. Maybe that's just something, you know, who knows what they're doing. And then there was something that kept a... There it is, right there. There was an advertisement for Blu-ray that listed the new model number of that PS3 that Engadget found with the FCC listing for the deal for that 5 free Blu-ray movies. It qualified on the new model. And people were like, the new model number. And so then there was more of that. And then there was Sony talking about a Big Bang announcement on October the 12th.
Right.
And everybody's wondering what that is. And, of course, you've got Spider-Man 3 coming out on Blu-ray, which is a Sony product. It comes out this month in October. And maybe they're going to do a bundle with that. And maybe it's the 40 gig. Maybe it's a price cut. Who knows? But I think something's going to happen
should probably be both.
Yeah.
Be a big deal.
So I'm thinking it's going to be this month we're going to have something come out with the PS3, something interesting, new, I don't know. I don't know if it'll make people happy or not, but it's coming, so who knows. They just dropped the price on the Warhawk retail version.
I saw that.
Yeah.
There's a, $40 retail?
It's down to coming. 40 bucks now, because that's how much the downloadable version of it is.
Hmm.
You don't get the free Bluetooth headset, no big deal for me, but it's, you know, 40 bucks now. So I'll probably pick that up, actually.
Well, is that a new boxing? Like a new packaging.
I don't think
without
so.
The headset, because they're in there still the headset that's priced at the full price. I thought it was going to be a new packaging of it that didn't include the headset, which is why it was cheaper. I don't know.
I know it doesn't come with the headset,
it's fine.
So I don't
it's
know.
Fine.
It's dropping down. Yeah.
It's okay.
Cheaper games are always good. Let's see what else. Anything else you guys saw in the news this week that you wanted to talk about?
No, you understand perfectly what we've been doing this week.
Yeah, I know. Playing some Halo 3.
Yep.
This month does mark the 30th anniversary of the Atari 2600.
Does it really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I don't exactly know what day it was, but it's this month.
That's
dig out my Atari and play some Yara's Revenge, then.
Sort of an unpleasant thought.
Yeah.
That's a lot of years, man.
30 years ago.
I remember it.
Yeah. I remember digging through the bargain bin at Toys R Us for $1 and $2 Atari games after the, video game market crashed.
Right.
That was my favorite time. Lots of games to play.
Hmm.
3D tic-tac-toe.
Right.
I spent a lot of time with 3D tic-tac-toe.
3D tic-tac-toe.
Yeah.
Did it have, camera panning and stuff? Or what?
No.
You could look at the other side of the board.
It did on the box art. The box art was usually a much better game than what you found on the cartridge. Unless it was like Combat, Yara's Revenge, Empire Strikes Back, Pitfall. That's it.
It had 4 4x4 grids, and you could win, by going, down grids and up grids. And apparently by turning the difficulty up, the computer won by default because it would take so long to decide its next move, you never got to take another turn.
That's awesome.
I let it sit for 5 minutes one time, and it never took its next turn.
Another big news story was that Activision bought Bizarre Creations.
Yep.
The makers of Project Gotham 4, Gotham Racing 4 that we were talking about earlier. However, Microsoft owns the IP of Project Gotham Racing.
So they'll bring in a bunch of ringers to give us five or whatever it is they're going to do.
Yeah, whatever they're going to do with it. So, that was some big news that hit. Let's see, Orange Box went gold last week. Ratchet & Clank, their new one, went gold. As well, of course, it got delayed, and then some are thinking, well, it only got delayed by a week. Maybe they're going to bundle that with the new PS3. There's, again, you want to talk
feeding
about
back into the rumors.
You want to talk about your tinfoil hat, toenail chew, and people just scrounging over everything, every little detail of what may happen here. And that's because so much information has come out regarding of something new coming from Sony that people will do that. So. That happens. I know that I'm the same way over Burnout. Any little detail, I'm like, oh, what does this mean? Is it going to come here, or is it going to come later, whatever? A review site said it's coming out in November. My GameStop little newsletter said it's coming out in January. So I'm like, ooh, which one's it going to be? So here's hoping for November. I really hope.
And God knows what's going to be in that game, man.
Race
all sorts of crazy stuff they could include in there, like cars that travel at ridiculous speeds and...
Yeah.
It'll crash violently. Yeah, man. It's going to be insane. Hope it's good. I don't begrudge you your joy of Burnout. I think it's really good.
I love it. Oh,
I just find it funny that you can get to a level of conspiratorial anticipation of it.
I really can. Man,
what variables you got? A release date. That's all you got.
I will dissect the video play that I see, and I'll look at that, and I'm like, okay, what kind of stuff are they putting on my HUD? What does that mean? What is that there? Right. What is this doing here? I will dissect
it.
That stuff.
I think it's fun.
Because I want to find out as much as I can and kind of, it's just, it's me being my...
I just refer back to that top-down view of the crash into the barrier wall.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's
I was like, whoa, why did you include the useless 52 seconds on the front half of this video when you could have just given me the 8 seconds at the end?
Here's Burnout Paradise. That's all it. That's
done.
It. Yeah. Winter. Oh, wait. That's it. Or, winter. That's it. That's all you need. Oh, goodness. Lots of stuff. What else? Well, we're going to be talking, coming up here in just a bit. We've got a few more minutes left in this hour, but we're going to talk about horror games, scary games.
October.
Yes, it's October.
Ooh, spooky.
Spooky.
It is. It's October.
It is. It's weird. You can, the month of September, I park in the back of my... backyard of my house, and so I have to walk through the dark really to get to the front door. And I have some lights on or whatever, and that kind of help me see, basically. And it's weird in September because I was doing this a couple of nights ago, I think when we got back from Halo 3. And I said, you know what? This looks fine, but I guarantee you, middle of next month, it'll be a little bit more creepy.
Right?
The weather turns a little bit colder. It'll be a little bit more creepy coming to the back door of my house and going inside. So, that's what October's for. And so we're going to talk about scary games, horror games. And this week we're going to talk about Fatal Frame. And we really need your help in talking about Fatal Frame because out of the
four of us...
This
is an interesting choice on your part because...
I know.
Only one of us.
I was like, oh, Fatal Frame. Yeah, that's... Does anybody here play Fatal Frame?
There are five of us in this. There's four of us in this room. There's one more in the little soundproof booth there. She answers your phone calls, 272-334-272-9228.
That's too many numbers, Scott.
It is. We'll put it in the chat room. 334-272-9228. But out of the five of us here, only one of us has played Fatal Frame. And so if you've played it, we'd like you to call in and tell us about that. 334, and let me finish writing this out, 272-9228 is the number you need to know to get in touch with us. You can even email us stories if you'd like to, everyone,
yeah, we like
at evilavatarradio.com.
Yeah, all I've ever known of it is that Dana wanted me to buy it because the girls wore really great, crazy gothic clothes. She's like, man, those are awesome. Are we going to get that? I was like, you want to play that? And she's like, I just like the way they dress.
This
and
was,
I was like, no, yeah. I'm not going to get that.
I've heard, you know, wonderful things about the game doing what it's supposed to do, which is basically scare the
out of you.
And I'm kind of curious as to how that is, and you're going to tell us about it, and we'd like everybody listening, if you've got... yeah, I know. Why would I pick it? I understand you're concerned of, like, why would you pick a game you haven't played? Because I think it falls in line with... Because
he's this guy, man.
Yeah.
You got to
understand. He's Psycho Boy.
This is who he is.
Because I think it fits in there. I mean, there's obviously other games, but this is Fatal Frame, and I've heard lots of good things, and I'd like to know from the community what they think about it, you know? Everyone I talk to, anytime that's ever mentioned, and it's not mentioned a lot when people come up and talk about this, it's usually Resident Evil, Silent Hill, you know, games that, yeah, we're going to get to, but, you know, and then somebody mentions Fatal Frame, like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that one. Oh, my God. You know, it's really scary. And then what else? I think the commercial got banned in Japan, one of the advertisements.
Yeah, it was something like that. It was pulled, and I actually watched it, but it was like, you know... The things people had said about it were far scarier than the commercial itself. Although I saw where the concept could go, I saw that it could be quite scary, but it was not.
And I can't remember why it was pulled.
I don't know.
There was some reason it didn't. It didn't like violate anything. I think.
No, I just think it bothered some people.
Yeah,
that's all.
Really bothered some people.
Happens over here all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dennis is going to step up and tell us the whys and wherefores of some Fatal Frame while we all sit here slack-jawed.
And listen about it, yeah.
And nod our heads.
And probably ask you questions about, oh, so can you do this? And, you know, probably say no on a lot of things, but because we'll be asking stupid questions in relation to the game, had we ever played it. But, yeah, haven't played it, kind of interested in it. What are there, three of them out now?
Three of them. There's going to be fourth one. Rumor is going around.
It's for the Wii. Yeah, yeah.
Gonna that makes sense. Wii.
Oh, yeah, because the Wii's got that, what do you call it, the little motion sensing thing.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. That'd be good for the kids.
Yeah, I'd love to see some, like, 10-year-old playing that game right there.
It scared you so much you actually throw your Wiimote into the TV on purpose.
Oh, I'd be entertained by that one.
So, yeah, we'll find out about that. And, again, I should tell you that I urge you to call in.
Yeah,
talk
do Scott's work for him.
Please. I think
this is brilliant. We should talk about things we don't know anything about more often.
They fit right in on the internet, so yeah.
I know it's going to be tough because, like, I don't know anything about hardly any PC games.
That's
you guys
I already mostly do that anyway. So
true.
I'm comfortable with it.
Yeah. So if you've got anything to add, 334-272-9228 or everyone at Evil Avatar Radio. com and yeah, I'm waiting for the clock to run out. Basically, is what I'm doing. I would love to keep it going, but I've only got 10 more seconds. So you know, we'll talk about that coming up here in just a bit. And
I assure you, there'll be something interesting talked about on the break.
There always is. So we'll be right back with more Evil Avatar Radio. And welcome back to Evil Avatar Radio here on 1170 WAC.
Oh, that was...
James is playing a puzzle game right now.
He is.
Wow.
Man, I tell you, we got to get a webcam in here for you guys so
much. How big of a mess can I make with my headphone cable?
He doesn't even get to hear the music. What is this? It's like naming that tune.
It's Tron 2.0.
Tron 2.0.
Oh, wow.
Hey, man. That was a really good game.
No, it was, yeah.
I'm not kidding. Nobody played that game.
I'm not dogging that. Trust me, yeah.
That game...
It did everything right by me.
That was... Yeah. The light cycles...
Okay, I forgot about the light cycles.
They were kind of wonky, but it was like, well, whatever. I'm just saying, if ever you're in like slightly a medium retro mood and you want to jump back a few generations on PC gaming, beautiful game. Beautiful. That's it.
Well, welcome back to Evil Avatar Radio here on 1170 WACV. Talking about scary games, and we got a lot of emails. We want to thank you for those, and we'll discuss those here in just a second. If you've got one you want to talk about, or if you've got anything you want to add to the show, you can email us, everyone, at evilavatarradio.com, or you can call us, which I believe Fate Fodder has done, and we're going to let him and Dennis here have a conversation. But you can call us at 334-272-9228. Please don't swear on the radio.
It's been a thing lately, just so you know.
And don't make it a thing, otherwise we're not going to be able to take phone calls anymore. Unless we trust you. You'll have to go through our phone screener and answer a series of questions. we'll have to have somebody to throw the lawsuit at when it comes at us. But anyway, we got Fate Fodder on the line here. Hey, man.
Hey, what's up?
Not much. We're going to talk about Fatal Frame, a game which none of us in this room, save for one, has played. So we figured we'd let you guys have a conversation about it.
I called in. I'm actually at work, but, you know, I listen to the show sometimes to just help me ease off the end of work on Mondays.
Right.
It started getting to the point where it's getting a little bit desperate. So I decided to just call in.
That's some keen ears right there. Thank you very much.
my experience with the series, I didn't play too much of the first game. I did a little bit. You know, a friend brought it over. I checked it out. I wasn't too interested. It was really in 2003 when the sequel was announced at the TGS, and I was studying abroad in Japan, when I suddenly became very interested in the game. I picked it up a few months later. It totally lived up to my expectations, and then I became a fan. So don't really know how much where you'd like to go.
No, well, again, we've never played it, so we're kind of curious as to how does it play? What does it do to scare you? I mean, tell us about it.
Okay, so I was actually writing this all in an email to you guys, but then really I just decided there's too much to say, and you guys had too much of these silent moments where I decided to walk outside and make the call. Let's see here.
Thank you.
Yeah, combat wise, you have what's called a camera obscura. It's just basically a camera. And when you pull this thing up, you can basically take pictures of these ghosts that are these transparent white things that can walk through objects at you. And the way you do damage to them is the ghosts have to be pretty much close to you, right up to the point where they're just upon you. And you take this camera shot, and then they kind of fall back in horror a little bit. And what you can do is, there are these moments when you want to take the shot. There are these exact moments in the enemy's animations as they're coming at you, where you want to take the shots to get the most points and do the most damage. And you can kind of combo this by, you know, maybe waiting until they're right upon you. You take the shot, they reel back a little bit. You take a shot when they're reeled back at the right time, they reel back even more. You do this over and over and over again. You rack up combo points. And you do a lot of damage. You can hit multiple targets. I don't actually know if you can hit multiple targets, actually. I might be confusing
that
with other
games.
You can
hit multiple targets on there.
But,
this is we all swivel to look at Dennis.
This is basically the combat. And as far as the horror goes, what's interesting here is that unlike, you know, say, Resident Evil or Fear or, you know, Eternal Darkness, the horror isn't immediately obvious. So in Fatal Frame 2, which is my favorite of the series, you've got two characters, actually. They're twin sisters. And one of them has an injured leg, and so she moves a little bit slower, kind of hobbling.
Is it an escort mission?
The other character, there are sort of escort missions, but the missions are not tedious.
Man, that's horrifying.
All.
I hate escort missions.
They're very short. Actually, because no enemies are super fast, it's not nearly as bad as you think it would be. But basically, the environment is what kind of brings the horror to life. You're walking through this old Japanese traditional style village, and you know, sometimes you're walking, you see an empty street, and you think to yourself, there's got to be something that comes at me from somewhere down this street, but then nothing does. And you keep on going. You go into a room. You're expecting horror, and there's the sound is kind of playing tricks with you at certain times also.
So it's Blair Witch.
Say again? A little bit.
So it's Blair Witch, where it's like, you know, it's all in your head. It's all in the atmosphere. You go into a door, you're expecting something, but it's not there. But because you're expecting stuff to be there, you never quite let go of the tension that you've built up while you're walking around.
Not the entire game. But then let me give you another example. One of the boss fights has you fighting three little kids. Three little kids. They're ghosts, okay? But they're playing hide and seek in the Japanese.
And I bet they're giggling, too. Giggling children.
What happens is that the person who's seeking makes a call, kind of like Marco Polo. He says Marco, and everybody else responds Polo. And so you've got these kids who pretty much can teleport and appear and disappear at will, and they kind of come at you from three different directions at a time, and you're in this room trying to defend yourself against them. And as you're fighting them, you can listen to conversations that they had when they were actually alive, and you're kind of getting an idea of the history behind this area you are actually in. So, I don't know, I'm kind of gushing and babbling, but basically this game has a lot of style. It definitely does a few things quite uniquely, and I would highly recommend the second game over the first one and the third one. The first one's not quite as interesting story-wise or character-wise, and the third one is actually kind of a semi-sequel off of the first game. And it's a little bit more typical as far as Japanese horror go. So the second one is the way to go. And, I mean, what really gripped me was I'm sitting there at TGS. Tecmo has this great booth. You know, it was also the year they showed Ninja Gaiden on the Xbox.
Right.
But before they did that, they plussed out this trailer, and it has this great song sung by, I forgot the artist's name. Oh, it's Amano Tsukiko. And the song title is Butterfly. It's a really atmospheric, good song. It's actually a pop song, but I'm not a big Japanese pop fan, so trust me when I tell you that the song is actually kind of cool. And they had these small little booths that you sat in. They turned the temperature down on purpose in that little area. it was just a really cool experience.
What was it a trailer for?
It was a trailer for Fatal Frame 2.
Oh, for Fatal. Okay, I thought you were talking about this year's TGS, because
No. Not
sounded oddly familiar.
About 2003.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, 2003. So, yeah, that's basically the gist of the game. I mean, there's a lot of parts of it where it's kind of what we've come to expect from Japanese horror ever since, you know, The Ring and The Grudge kind of came to the U.S., and we're familiar with that kind of style of horror now.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I would say even given that, this horror isn't quite like The Ring. I mean, there's nothing, you know, no fast-moving, shaky camera, weird head spinning demons or anything like that. It's kind of a sad story, and also the ending of Fatal Frame 2, I'm not going to give you any spoilers unless you want me to, but it's kind of, it does a thing where it's kind of hopeful, and it's actually kind of nice, but the expression on one of the characters' faces kind of leaves you wondering what exactly is that person thinking, and you think to yourself, man, this might not actually be a happy ending at all. It might not even be a really hopeful ending at all.
Kind of leaves it up to the player to make their decision on how they feel, or, you know, how they feel that it ends, maybe, I guess.
On the forums in Japan, there were, you know, a lot of people arguing one way or another. Is this a genuine hopefulness, or is there some sort of evil underlying intent behind it?
All that from an expression on the character's face, huh?
On the very last character's face, just for a short moment. You kind of, at first when you see it, you're like, oh, that was nice. But then about, you know, 3 seconds later, you're like, you think to yourself, wait a second now. That might not have been as nice as I thought it was. And then you dwell on it a little bit more and a little bit more. And then eventually I went online to the forums, and evidently so did a lot of other players.
Well, tell me this. What would be your top three horror, scary type games?
I would probably put Fatal Frame 2 close to the top three, if not in it. I can't, you know, it's not something I've thought too much about, but I guess Eternal Darkness would be in there also.
Yeah, one more.
You know, I like Resident Evil 4 a lot, not because it was scary necessarily, just because of the game itself, the reinvention of the franchise, and the introduction of the way of the gameplay.
All right,
so
Resident Evil 4
is definitely in there.
Eternal Darkness and Fatal Frame 2. Well, thank you so much, man.
All right.
We appreciate you calling in. Thanks for helping us out. But yeah, I guess he pretty much nailed what you were going to say there on that.
Yeah, he pretty much nailed it on the head right there.
I mean, his discussion of that's kind of a good place to begin to ask the question of, you know, we're talking about horror games and scary games, and there's a lot of things that are
player definition.
Yeah, to some extent, but it's like a lot of stuff I think is just jump takes, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like fast movement, loud noise. Ah, you know, I'm scared. My blood pressure spikes and so does my pulse rate. And there you go. That's, yeah, I guess I'm startled. But, like, scary has an awful lot more to do with, you know, your own invention about what's about to happen, your own expectation, your own how you perceive the events to be unfolding or the things that you're going to have to deal with, which is why, again, I haven't played it, but it's a lot of what I understand to be the, you know, the fabric of the scary in Eternal Darkness.
Yeah, that's,
I mean, I can't say, but it was just everything. A lot of it was just so unexpected. It was things that you didn't necessarily think you were going to have to deal with.
Yeah, Drew MG, who was in the chat room, he's not in there anymore. But Drew MG sent us an email saying, "Hey, if you're going to talk about horror games, you got to talk about Eternal Darkness." Yeah, I guess so. It's been a while since I played that. I really need to go back and take a look at that and see if it's still pulling off the same scary things that it was pulling off. You know, it kind of messed with my head more than it really scared me.
Yeah.
Because of those insanity moments that you would get out of the game, where they had, like, I don't know how many different ones they had. I don't even think I discovered all of them. But there were just these little moments where if your insanity level hit a certain peak, the game would do some weird things. And that was a little bit of, that was some creepy stuff, because you really didn't know what was going on with that.
Yeah, so it didn't really scare me. It was very much Lovecraftian in nature. Well, obviously, but not kind of scary that you get off, like, you know, the dog jumping through the window in Resident Evil.
Right, everybody talks about that part.
Yeah.
Resident Evil having the dogs jump through the window and that sort of thing. We were talking earlier about System Shock. Was it 2? System Shock 2 or System Shock.
It was 2. When everybody says System Shock, they're talking about 2. I mean, one was what it was, but it wasn't 2. I think there were a lot of people who it wasn't a problem. You know, BioShock didn't bring any of the scary that System Shock 2 had, in my opinion. Maybe it's because I'm a more mature gamer. Maybe it's because they just didn't add it. It wasn't there. I thought, you know, medical was kind of creepy, but there was this constant unease. Like, I just didn't want to do the next thing. Mm-hmm. When I was done doing what I had to do, when I completed a task in System Shock, I was happy. I was really happy. I didn't have to do anything else. And then something else would come up, and I'd have to go somewhere that was inevitably very bad for me. It was dangerous. Things were not happy with me there. I was going to be assaulted in all manner of untoward kind of ways, and I just wasn't happy about it. And it was always a dread. Every step was dread, and I didn't like it. That's like really fear to me. I really don't want to go to the end of this game. I don't.
That's another good question that Jeff wrote in, Nabokov fan 87. His question was, has there ever been a game that you were so scared, that scared you so much that you didn't want to finish it?
Yeah, I didn't want to keep going with System Shock. I really didn't. There was a point in time I was really hoping for the ending, not because I wanted the... I was tired of being uneasy that way. It was kind of exhausting to be, and I know a lot of people who did not finish it, mm-hmm, because of how it treated the player. I don't want to finish... I'm trying to finish Condemned for a long time.
Talk about that one.
Man, I game really bothers me. I finished a lot of scary games in my time, but that game really, really does a number on me. I don't know why, but it's extremely unsettling.
The worst for me was just watching my friends play the first Silent Hill game on the PlayStation. I don't know, maybe it would have been different if I'd actually been playing it. Mm-hmm. Maybe not. But at that particular time, particularly rendered the way the original PlayStation renders things, you know, it wasn't very good, and draw distance is limited, and so everything's concealed in fog, like 3 feet in front of you. The only way you know something's around you is that little crackly radio that you wear around your neck, and when you finally do see something, it's not something you can really categorize. It's
walking
giant,
weird,
skinless,
it's looking, yeah,
pterodactyl bird kind of thing. I didn't like that. I didn't like seeing things that I couldn't categorize.
What are you doing here? This can't be good.
Yeah.
This is a town,
man. What is that even supposed to do to me? I don't know. I just know I don't want to get anywhere near it. Yeah. I didn't even like being in the same room with somebody else playing that.
B.A. Penguin says, scariest moment, rather most freakiest moment, was the department store in Condemned.
No good, yeah. Man. Man, it was no good.
I agree 100% on that one.
There was like five whole guys to fight in that...
But you didn't know that because they all looked like mannequins. They all looked like, you know, they were all posing, you know. You'd walk up to a mannequin and you're just like, well, shoot it. I don't care. It's not moving. Shoot it. Get rid of it.
I don't know if we've talked about this. I think we mentioned on the air at some point, but the serial killer in SWAT...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Took place on Halloween, or you know, on the month of October.
It was like sometime
right
around
really
Halloween.
Creepy.
And you have to serve a warrant on. Well, not serve a warrant, but like you're going to get this guy who's apparently kidnapping women, and he's a serial killer, and you like track him down to like his mom's house or something. And he's got a place there, and it's like you go through. There's four of us co-oping through this level, and whatever. He's at his mom's house, man.
Yeah.
Guy's living at mom's house in the basement.
And up to this point, there's nothing that scary in the game.
Man, it bothered me. And when she jumped out from behind that four-poster bed wearing her moo-moo and screaming at me to get out of the house.
Well, then you go down into the basement. It's all nasty
man.
And stuff.
Man.
Then you go in further into the basement. It's like dug out. It's like you're underground. Yeah. You know, it's
dirt wall. It's really
man,
creepy.
Okay, you're playing SWAT 4. You got lots of guns. You know you're just fighting people. You're just arresting guys and shooting bad guys and stuff. And you're in this guy's mom's house, and you know he's like some dork who's kidnapping women, and he's a serial killer. And like, it's a known thing. You're not even in some kind of alternate or science fiction reality or anything like that. You're in a very grounded type of situation, and it really frightened me. Like, you know, particularly when... his mom, you know, I'm just saying, jumps out from behind that bed in a moo-moo and starts screaming at me, smoking, you know, menthol light 100s, and like, I shot her in the face with the little pepper balls like 100 times, and she didn't quit screaming. I was really bothered by that.
Yeah. That was pretty creepy, just the atmosphere of walking around.
But I mean, see, that's exactly the
you're
thing.
You're walking around this guy's house, and it's at night, and you see the pumpkin sitting out on the
I think it's in the details, man. Yeah, I think it's in the ability to make your mind do something that it's not necessarily supposed to do.
We got Violent P agreeing with us in the chat room.
Yeah, I'm saying, man, it's this guy's mom's house, and I'm terrified. Obviously, somebody did their work, and it was all in the details, tricking me into feeling a certain way that I shouldn't if I would just pay attention to the situation, you know?
Don't tase me, Mom.
Yeah, well, you can tase her all you want, man. She does not respond to those pepper balls. That's all I'm saying.
She just keeps on screaming.
She's like a five-pack-a-day smoker, so pepper balls obviously had no effect. but it really got me, and that's the kind of thing that will make me afraid. Too many jump scenes, too much startling gameplay will actually just make me angry.
It'll annoy you.
It's like, okay, you know, this is... No, you're browbeating me. It's such a ham-fisted approach.
Trying too hard.
Making me upset. And it works to a certain degree, because films do this all the time. They go for cheap sort of, you know, frame cuts and stuff like that. But, like, if you're talking real horror and real things that, like, stick with you, it's got to be the kind of gameplay, the kind of environment that sort of creeps up your back and, you know, doesn't leave, just leaves you with that really bad feeling. The kind of thing where it's like, you know, at a... mirror mounted to my monitor for a really long time. granted, this is because, you know, so I could see when my ex-wife was tapping her foot in the doorway because I was playing too much Tribes. But whatever. It also served really, really well to set my mind at ease when playing stuff like System Shock 2.
Violent P says, we co-op that level. Three of the pansiest SWAT members you've ever seen. I totally agree.
Yes.
Yeah,
bad.
We did the same thing.
Except we had four of the pansiest SWAT members you've ever seen.
That one level, like looking back now, obviously you knew what to do, but that one level took us about an hour and a half.
It was forever, man.
Because we were like, check under the door. Do you see anything? No, I don't see anything. But he could be right over there. I'm hearing stuff, and you know, so it was some interesting. It's a lot of fun. SWAT 4, you know, that deserves a port.
It does. We had a lot of trouble playing that multiplayer.
We did, and it deserves a nice
It's oftentimes, just as an aside, it's often one of the games that we'll quote when we talk about how much we like Xbox Live as opposed to how certain things would work on the PC end of things. How you were treated with such... I don't know. There was a lot of obstinance on behalf of matchmaking services for doing things on the PC. It would have been a nice thing to see on the 360. Probably would have been more afraid.
Yeah. Well, it was a lot more fun.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Sitting in that back room where my computer is, my back to the door.
Yeah, it's awfully lonely.
Of a house full of darkness.
Yeah.
Rather than being in a room where my TV pretty much lights up the room.
That's true.
It might serve a little bit different purpose. I got the kitchen light on or whatever. But, yeah, it is dependent on how you play these games, whether you catch their atmosphere or not. Do you go all lights off? Do you go even further and wear headphones so that all other sound is drowned
lights
out?
Lights off and headphones, you know, man. That's pretty serious stuff.
Make you pee your pants.
And at the computer is worse because you're usually facing a wall and you're not very far away from it. So your peripheral vision for anything sneaking up on you or like breaking in through a window or something is completely compromised. You are absolutely locked in by your computer monitor. So, if you know, I'm just saying. Think about this thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's very dependent on how you decide to play these type of games. Some of them, you know, some of them you go for that whole atmospheric thing. You're like, I want to be drawn into this. I want it to get the full effect of what it's trying to do. And then, you know, if you're me, you play it on easy, lights all, lights on.
Another thing, though, almost categorically, I found that horror games make for some of the best group experiences. Even though it's a complete single-player game, like sitting in the living room with like 5 to 10 people playing, you know, Resident Evil or something like that when you haven't been through it. Or like we played Condemned. One person holding the controller, everyone else basically just kind of talking.
Yeah. Don't go in there. So that's one of them. Look out.
Yeah, man. It's just like sitting in a theater. I mean, it's not just like it, but there seems to be that same kind of group dynamic that only, you know, percolates up to the surface when you're doing something that's based on horror. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the safety in numbers thing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we just, I don't know, like to watch the reactions of each other when we're going through these things. And sometimes it's no less scary if you're not having the
other people's fear builds into your own.
Yeah. And a lot of times, I really don't want to be the guy with the controller. I feel like my life is the one at stake. You know, if I turn that corner and that guy's like doing the thing with the scary whatever, he's coming after me. He's not coming after you guys. I have to experience a level of discomfort that you don't have to.
Because you're focused on what's going on. I can stare at a different focus point and make you think I'm watching the game when I'm just like, don't look at the screen just
but
yet.
But sometimes it's really bad not to be the one in control.
That's just what I was thinking. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was watching Randall play the demo of Bioshock for the first time.
Yeah.
Not being the guy in control and him not looking around corners. I really wanted to see what was, you know.
You need to slice the pie, man. Yeah. Slice the pie.
But fun stuff. Jeff also, he posed the question of, you know, games that you don't want to finish because they're so scary, but he also brings up Fear being a pretty scary game.
I haven't completed it, largely because it kind of bothered me. Mm-hmm. My PC wasn't really up to snuff. It was a bad time for me, and I never went through another upgrade cycle to make it something worth experiencing. But
the demo worked for me.
The demo told me most of what I needed to know,
yeah,
which was I was not man enough to play any further into that game.
Again, you're involving ghost children. Ghost children are...
Man, it's creepy. Yeah. Don't do that. Yeah.
Painkiller.
You don't even have to do anything. Man.
Painkiller, for all intents and purposes, Painkiller is not a scary game. But then they throw you into the old orphan, the orphanage.
That was in the expansion.
Yeah.
That was in the whatever it was called expansion, which was very frightening.
I mean, the first game, they put you in like an insane asylum, so you weren't really dealing with children, but you were dealing with...
It was uncomfortable. Yeah. Well, you know, the institution dedicated to the unsound, be it physical or mental, is always a really bad place for, you know, zombies and ghosts and stuff. That's, you know, it's not two things you want to have together. Or a separate, actually.
Yeah. No, you don't.
Either case. But yeah, then, yeah, it was really, really frightening.
And
it was
then
like,
the expansion, they put you in an orphanage.
It felt like... Max Payne 1, when you're going through one of Max's like crazy little psychotic breaks between acts,
he's
reliving the walking up to where his wife was murdered, and you like you get to the baby room, and like the baby's like still twitching under the blanket, and then like the blocks are floating around the room. It was like a whole level of that, and that was bad enough. Just walking past that was bad enough. I didn't like that.
There's a lot of talk in the chat room now. It's not about a scary game. It's about one level in the game, and they're talking about Ravenholm.
Oh, man. Yeah. Ravenholm was really good. Ravenholm was really, really good. You know, I've been thinking about it a lot lately since that list of list of achievements came out for Orange Box.
I haven't checked them out.
I only looked at a few, but I saw that one of them was making it through Ravenholm using only the gravity gun.
Ah.
I was like, man, I am going to be in some extraordinarily panicked moments looking around for something to pick up and throw, because those, whatever their name was, the fast-moving zombies.
Hunters.
The hunters. Oh, man, and the scream. It's like, could you either run fast or scream? But when you do both, I really just kind of soil myself.
You're on top of the building and
yes.
Eyes start shaking.
I know. I don't. I'm just not. Why do I have to go back there?
Yeah.
I do. I totally have no choice. I have to go back.
But
because
didn't
I am going to play through it.
Didn't you have the saw blades in Ravenholm? And
yeah,
when you
man.
First got to play with those things?
Yeah. It was great. But it doesn't mean it wasn't scary. I'm just saying, man. I guess the saw blades were supposed to make you feel better about things, but they didn't really.
No. Well, you send them flying. And
the only thing that made me feel better was throwing a paint bucket at them.
Yeah.
You know, like covering it, and then I'm like, oh, okay, I guess this is like, you know, giving a speech and imagining everyone naked.
Yeah.
This is supposed to sort of reduce my fear when I cover you with white paint, and you're like, and it's like, oh, you look pretty stupid.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break here. It's our only one of the hour, and then when we come back, we'll take your calls, your emails, whatever you want to talk about at that. If you still want to talk about the scary games going on, if anybody else has any experiences, we'd love to hear from you, 334-272-9228, or you can send us an email, everyone@evilavatarradio.com. We would love to hear from you. So more coming up here on 1170 WACV with Evil Avatar Radio. And welcome back to Evil Avatar Radio here on 1170 WACV.
Silent Hill 2.
I was going to say, is that a Silent Hill game?
Yes, it is. Silent Hill 2.
I don't know.
My favorite out of it.
Oh, hey, it looks like the chat room's working again.
Yay.
It dumped out on there for a minute, so don't know what that was going on. But yeah, welcome back to Evil Avatar Radio here on 1170 WACV, episode number 76. We were on the subject of like scary horror games, that sort of thing, and we wanted to make a correction. Apparently it wasn't Fatal Frame that the ad that we were thinking of got banned. It was for a game called Siren?
Or Forbidden Siren.
Or Forbidden Siren, okay. Another game that I haven't played, so I don't know why we would talk
and,
about it.
Yeah, which, thanks to Dennis's description of it during the break, I have absolutely no intention of playing that game.
Yeah. It's difficult.
Yeah.
Unless we group play it, you know, unless we find like a team of people.
I've barely gotten into it the few times I've played, so that may be an activity we may want.
Yeah, again, I'm always up for that. I'm willing to conquer any really scary game in a group.
Yeah,
that's basically. Sometimes I have to be by myself.
Well, you tried to go back and play Condemned, and you just couldn't do it.
I've played through half of Condemned. We played through half of it. Mm-hmm. I figured I'd go back. It's just stuff I've seen before, but it was worse.
Because you're by yourself.
I'm not kidding you. It was really bad.
How far did you get before you decided, no, I got to do this with, I got to start where I left off, not going back through this. Where were you?
Man, seriously, not very far. I think I was just about to get back to the department store, and I knew what was going to happen in the department store. And that's all. I was very scared.
Did anybody, I'll ask this question, you guys will get it a little bit later. If anybody in the chat room played Siren, give us a call and let us know how it did for you. 334-272-9228. Violent P brings up Phantasmagoria. Did you guys play any of that?
I played it.
Old PC game there, isn't it?
Yeah. Played it back in...
What year was that?
96 was when I played it,
okay.
I think. Because, first year of college. Man, all right, it was really creepy. Really, really creepy. I remember the creepiest thing being going into this, always little kids, going into this baby room in this giant house that you were kind of
again,
stuck in.
Here we go.
And
obviously we struck upon a theme of what we'll always be afraid of.
And there was this little green glob floating over the baby crib, and there were weird noises. And
that's horrible.
Nothing ever happened to me in that room, but that scared me to death. I hated
class
that.
Class 5 free-roaming vapor.
I think I mentioned this. Yeah, I think I mentioned it's this once right before on the show, but it was many months ago. I got to the last disc of the game. It was a 7-disc game because it was a lot of.
I remember this. Yeah,
yeah. Got to the last disc. Things are like going crazy. It's really bad, really scary, really fast paced, and there's a scratch on my disc, and I don't get to finish the game.
Oh.
I finally found another copy of the game. It was a 5-disc version and incompatible with my save, so I never did find out how Phantasmagoria ended.
Probably badly.
maybe that was the end of the game.
Yeah, it's just like Blaster Master. Yeah, man. It ended with a disc scratch on disc 6. The end.
Good stuff. GT Chris in the chat room says Siren was another case where the dub of the game kind of crippled the game early on because it was obviously imported, but it was...
Oh, it's a shame.
Yeah, the dub didn't work as well for him. Yeah. The controls were kind of janky, and but he said it did have some promise there at first, but just had no good for him. But yeah, you know, you're going to run into that. You're going to run into some games that are imports that are supposed to be pretty scary. Another not very well known, at least not to me, That James, you mentioned earlier on before the show, was a game called Blood.
Oh yeah, yeah. I don't
yeah,
know if
PC
I don't.
Game.
I don't know if anybody would especially remember that. It kind of
I
was
remember
thinking
the
about
game,
that,
but I never played it.
I was thinking about it when you were talking about there being something inherently scary to the way that the PlayStation was forced to render things for Silent Hill, and I've always felt like old build engine games from that era of PC gaming, like, were especially disturbing. And I don't know if it was necessarily that they created such great atmosphere. It was just a lot of the tricks that they would pull to, like 2D sprites in a 3D world. There was something, like, really bothersome about that. But the game itself was just I don't know where to begin to describe it. I mean, you've either played Blood or you haven't played Blood.
How old is the game? What's
94.
Like
98? No, maybe it was later. I don't think it was...
I remember it being on the shelves at Comp USA when
97
I worked there.
97 or 98.
So.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, would it translate today if you played it and it still looked the same way that it did? I mean, would it still...
I
a lot of these games have that kind of test of time because of the way that they looked
well,
at the
you
time.
Well, you played the Marathon Durandal demo. Did you not even demo that?
I have it on demo. I just haven't gotten
around
to playing.
Okay, it was kind of the same era. Basically, looked a bit like that, controlled a bit like that. There would be, I think, any of the fear that it might instill in me playing it again would be remembering old things. You mm-hmm. know, remembering fear from some other time. It might be just as scary. I don't know, but it really did a number on me. I never finished it because of that. I bought the whole game, finished first act, and. You know, it was, where did I finish it at? Scary Carnival. That's what it was.
Here we go, clowns.
They pulled the Scary Carnival on me. That's what it was. And I was like, nope.
There are certain elements of these horror games that I think people know touches a chord with most. And again, we've mentioned both of these. I was saying goodbye to Zilla Dana. She's got to go back to work. Clowns, like scary, horrible clowns, not killer clowns from outer space clowns. Those are great. Yeah. We love those.
No kind of clowns.
Killer clowns from outer space, you remember that? And it still affected you?
I'm just saying. I'm not saying it affected me. I'm saying, no, we just don't necessarily like those kind of clowns. I just want to step in and say that.
But yeah, you know, psycho scary clowns in haunted carnivals or whatever. That sort of thing. And then, of course, your kids. Your scary kids giggling off in the distance somewhere, or Jeremy's description of just a baby crib in a room.
Well, and green blobs. That's pretty bad.
Hovering green blobs over them. But yeah, it's just there's certain elements. Half-dead Rottweilers jumping through a window.
They were Dobermans.
Were they Dobermans? Okay.
Yeah, they were Dobermans.
Far
scarier than Rottweiler. I don't know.
I don't either. But yeah, jumping through the
little
window,
heads.
Obviously there was that scare. And, you know, we know where that place is, we know where it's at. But you put us in a room with certain elements or certain things that make us give
uneasy.
You know, there's the atmosphere, and then there's the jump. There's the atmosphere scare and the jump scare.
Yeah.
And I don't know, which one do you think works on a better level? I mean, the jump scare, obviously, at the time, could probably match anything you get out of an atmosphere.
Giant skinless pterodactyl bird things.
At least you can see those.
Skinless pretty much works about anything, though.
Yeah.
Without skin would probably work on any level there. So, cotton candy cocoons, yeah, that's exactly. Night Trap. You guys were talking about Night Trap?
Oh, we just mentioned it. I never played it. I don't just aware of it.
I don't
either.
I don't know anything about it.
I've never played it.
No, I know nothing about that one. So, but you guys were talking about it in the chat room, so I thought I'd bring that up. So,
Night
there
Trap.
You go.
Don't
know.
It was controversial at the time Mortal Kombat came out.
Okay, yeah. I think I remember it now.
Yeah. It had the girl from, what was that? 80s sitcom.
Different Strokes?
Different Strokes, yeah.
Did it really?
I figured out which Dana Plato.
That's right.
Yeah, I now remember what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Things did not end well for her either.
Well, if you were in an 80s sitcom, things generally didn't end well for you.
No, it doesn't look like they do.
good little food for thought there.
Yeah.
Oh,
tasteless,
goodness.
Though.
Yeah.
As food for thought goes.
Yeah, jump scares, they only work the one time, because you know where they're at.
Yeah. Well, I suppose they could work to help set you up for, you know, later things. You know, like as you progress in Bioshock, you eventually get to this place where dead bodies, you know, who aren't dead bodies, just jump off the floor and start going crazy at you. You know, you walk up to a group of them like you're going to loot them, and it's like, boo, ha, you know, here we are.
Boo!
And it's like, oh my God, that's really scary. Mm-hmm. The problem was that for the rest of the game, every single time I'd come across one, I didn't know. It wasn't when they jumped up that bothered me. It was being about 15 feet away from them, not knowing if they were going to jump up right about the point where I got to where I'd see whether they were lootable or not. So, yeah, the jump scare served its purpose by creating this new... whatever, you know, this new possibility in the game. So I suppose in that sense, if that's what it's used to do, then it's perfect. And you can always use a cheap one, a thing crawling on the wall outside the window or, you know, something like that. I guess it always works. I don't really know.
Yeah, we did get, let's see, Nabokov says you didn't get to hear my email story. Well, actually, we've got your email story here, and we can read that to him. You were talking about fear, and we mentioned fear, obviously, if I can jump back to my little email box in time here. But yeah, he said he was talking about fear. Nabokov fan was talking. You mentioned fear. It not only has the sense of, what is he, sweetness from the name?
Right.
But the advertisements around it swallowed me into this world as well. This was the first game and only game I played where I didn't want to go around the corner. I was so scared that I wanted to run to the start of the level, flip the boss, the bird, and go home and cower in a corner, having nightmares about the invisible enemies and that freak of a child called Alma. A side note, I let a 45-ish man that works in the department at a hospital with my mom play the game. He couldn't. Every time he played the game, he had nightmares and couldn't sleep. Every day at work was another story about how that little girl was going after him. Yeah, the little girl, again, you're throwing children into the mix, and this little girl, it was interesting. Fear had the mechanic of, we're not going to let you turn away from what we're showing you. Because the game, it would, like, slow down real quick, and you'd see, you couldn't move. They were like, you didn't have any control over your character looking at whatever's happening.
Yeah, you couldn't hide your eyes,
it
man.
It forced you, yeah. You couldn't just, like, let me find a wall and just look at it for a while until this is passed. No, you couldn't do that. It forced you to see the moment. And then there were some times where you wouldn't miss the moment, you'd catch the tail end of it. There was a point where I think I was going down this ladder or something, and this guy pops up. You didn't see him, though, unless you, like, turned around quick enough. But you would see him dissipating into whatever it was that he vanished into. And you're like, whoa, what was that? What was just there? Somebody was talking to me, and then there was this stuff falling around near me. So, you know, it had its moments. But, yeah, forcing you to see the fear. Or to see, there you go, forcing you to see the scare. Basically,
which
was
mechanic. Condemned it as well. It would occasionally, when you were opening a door, like straddling a barrier or something like that, it would do a lot of the...
I don't open doors in scary games.
It would do a lot of that same thing. It would take control completely out of your hands, and you go into a fixed animation, but you would be in first person. And I learned to really clinch every single time that happened and just expect the worst possible thing. And the fact of it was that it almost never happened. You know, I'd be walking up a ladder, and I would know that, you know, horror of horrors would be waiting for me up there, and it would melt my face.
Yeah.
But it just didn't happen, and that's what really got to me. And it, just about the point when I would sort of be comfortable with the idea that it wasn't going to happen, it would happen.
Mm-hmm.
Well-paced.
Because taking ladders in that, it would do this whole animation of you looking down to the ground and actually spinning around and looking up and then going down the ladder. Yeah, no control at this time. You couldn't look left, you couldn't look right, you were stuck in that animation. Same thing of when you would go up, you know, you come up the ladder, and you're looking at this, and then your head would go down as you're coming off of the ladder, and then come pop back up, and, you know, right there.
Right.
Something right in your face. And you're just, yeah. Yeah. A swear word of all things would just pop out of your mouth.
Oh, not just one. Most of them.
Flickering of harsh invectives.
Like me playing Call of Duty 4, I would throw out any number of explicatives. Expletives. Yeah. And there we go. I try.
You do.
And that's what happens. So, there you go.
No. We should really, to commemorate October, we should really try to...
Have a scary game session?
Yeah, we should have a few of these over the month. We should try to finish Condemned, because two, you know, it's not right around the corner, but it's out there.
It's headed our way.
And anything else, if anybody can think of anything, you know, send us a message, anything you feel like we've missed and haven't played. I'd like to experience some of this stuff in you
great
know.
Time of the month to do it.
Yeah, it is.
Or great time of the year to do it, really.
Sure.
If you want to get in touch, I know we throw it out there enough or a lot, but we're going to keep doing that. Everyone at evilavatarradio.com.
Send us an email, anything that you were particularly interested in.
I think you have us on your friends list now.
A lot don't.
Yeah, so you can send us messages through Xbox Live, that sort of thing. Just get the message across of a game that we should try out, scary horror type stuff that we should give a go.
Yeah, because there was Condemned. I think the last time other than Condemned I did that was... Code Veronica. Way back, Resident Evil Code Veronica. Played that with a group of people.
Give us a survival horror that's got a co-op play.
Oh, that'd be good. Well, hopefully...
Left 4 Dead.
Left 4 Dead. Something that we could...
Four-player co-op again.
Play at some point.
I need to try and fire up SWAT again and see if I can play that again.
Yeah.
I don't guess you can.
Playing it alone.
Is it on the Mac?
I don't think so.
You got Boot Camp, right?
No, I don't.
Anymore?
No. Not right now. I don't have a Boot Camp install of XP. That's kind of something I've been waiting on to play a few of the PC titles I'm interested in, but whatever. Maybe later. Maybe when 10.5 comes out.
Okay.
But yeah, there are a couple things I'd like to tackle before October. Before October's over, we should definitely finish Condemned as a group.
Because I would say we've got... You don't really have a lull, but we kind of do. I mean, you're going to get what you can get out of Halo 3 as far as the campaign is concerned. You've got the multiplayer system.
Which won't be much. And then the multiplayer will differ person to person.
Yeah. And it'll be here for a good while to come, and there'll be other game modes and things like that to play with it, and that sort of thing.
Well, and I'll get a little bit out of the multiplayer, but I won't get as much as anyone else will. I knew that before I bought it. Which is fine. I need the time to play... Eternal Sonata. Mm-hmm. I feel really guilty that, you know, I got just a taste of it, and then Halo 3 swooped in and took all my time.
But this month we're getting, I think it's October, that we're getting Orange Box, right?
Yeah, it went gold.
Yeah.
And I think we're getting it inside of, it went gold a few days ago.
Yeah, you're getting Orange Box and you're getting Ace Combat.
Which I also feel bad about. I don't feel like I could play that without the stick and rudder or the stick and throttle combo.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't. I liked the game. I didn't like how it translated to the full axis of control on the controller. I didn't like it at all. So I really wanted the stick, but I don't quite think I can justify paying the money for it.
Yeah. I don't know. I've got it pre-ordered. I'll make up my mind and see. I don't know if I want
right.
to go through. I wasn't sure at the time. I was just like, go ahead and put it on pre-order so that's
here. I want to play it because I want to, you know, get in a squadron with everybody.
I don't want to buy it for you so that you can... Because that's what'll happen.
I know.
So I don't know if I want to do that or not. I got to go pick up some Halo Action Clicks, by the way. Speaking of buying things for you. But yeah, we'll do that. We'll find some games because obviously, you know, once October's up, you're pretty much screwed for the rest of the year. COD 4, Mass Effect, it's taken. You've got, that's it. You don't have any time. to playing
it's true.
Pretty much anything else. As much as three maps have held me in multiplayer COD 4, imagine what happens when whatever number they decide to release, we haven't heard, maps come with that thing. The level, I've heard rumors of it going to 55. I've heard rumors of it going to 100.
Yeah. I can tell you that every single time in the map rotation, when it comes down to Vacant, Crash, or Overgrown, the map will be skipped from having played it so much in the beta. I'm pretty sure that's going to... The only reason nobody skips them now is because, hey, dude, we've only got three maps. Why are you voting to skip? That's basically what it is, except for the fact that Vacant comes up, you know, I don't know, five times out of every seven, it seems like.
Yeah. They'll be I was thinking about that the other day. I'm like, man, we're going to get so tired of this. We're not going to want to play this map whenever our choices become more varied.
Right.
Overgrown, Crash, and Vacant are not going to be ones that we're going to be wanting to jump into.
I don't know, except for the fact that we know them.
Yeah.
Oh, I know this map. I know where to go. I won't look too stupid on this map.
I think those are the three maps we'll start out on when we're lower level.
Yeah.
Because we know exactly what to do to kind of level up there and have some fun with it. So. Goodness, we got a few more minutes left in the show. Want to thank everybody who's joined us. I'll give a quick rundown. We had the chat room kind of...
It puked
on us. So we lost a lot of people in the chat room. Doesn't mean we lost a lot of listeners, so thank you for listening. Even if you were in the chat room before, thanks again. GT Chris is in there. I'm not sure that we've seen him before. But anyway, GT Chris, hey, thanks for joining us in there. Mott Wackworb. Lawlers is in there. Fishbang, myself, Rogue Hunter, thanks for listening. Violent P69, thank you. Ghostbear1. I talked to you earlier today. He's having some fun with Halo 3. I think he's done with Halo 3, though. I think he got through the campaign, and I don't think the multiplayer is going to hold him over. He was mentioning how the multiplayer is just not doing it for him.
Yeah.
And I think for a lot of people who spent so much time in the COD 4 beta, I think jumping over to the Halo 3 thing was like, you know what? I'm having more fun at COD in COD 4.
Well, particularly when all we were doing was comparing... Halo 3 beta to COD 4 beta. It's like, man, we kind of know what Halo 3 is going to be. And granted, it's a much broader experience than it was in the beta. But we keep looking at COD and we're like, this is really sharp. It's just so well made that I'm real happy about it. There's some stuff that I think they could learn, actually, from Bungie and Microsoft about building a multiplayer game. Basically because... Well, I find myself really, really wanting replays when I play COD 4, and I find myself really wanting a kill cam when I play Halo 3. So I suppose each one has individual benefits.
Yeah.
I really, really want a kill cam in Halo 3. But and there's going to be some stuff, you know, missing from the experience when COD comes out. But it's gonna eat up all my time as far as competitive multiplayer.
Also, Straxmas is in here. Slipstream as well in the room. Nabokov fan, 87. Thanks for your emails. Thanks for listening. UW Crash, thanks as well. And, Matt Thrinwolf just joined the chat room here. Yeah, Chris. Hey, man. And thanks for joining us right at the end of the show.
In the last 40 seconds.
Just a couple of more seconds left. Again, thank you. And we got a new email as well, and we'll get to that. So thanks a lot. It's been a great episode 76. We'll be back next week with episode 77 here for you. Not exactly sure what we'll talk about. We'll throw some scary games in there as well and have a new game for you to try out also. But, thanks again for listening. A few more seconds left, and we'll see you next week on Evil Avatar Radio here on 1170 WACV. Good night.